Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Denny Huff, brought to you by Missouri Council of the Blind. Now, let's meet the people. Welcome, everyone, to this another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Denny Huff.
And I'm Chip Haley. And I, too, want to welcome you to a brand new edition of Meet the People of MCB.
You know, Chip, we've been having people on that pretty well known within MCB, some not that well known. And that's the way with our guest today. He's been around MCB for a little while, but not that well known. I guess in his own chapter, he is his own affiliate. Want to welcome today, Mr. Carl Chappell. Carl, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you, gentlemen.
You bet. Now you're with the Northern Lights, one of our most recent addition to MCB affiliate, and I understand you're the president. Is that correct?
Yeah, I really got it by default. Stephen Schnelli was the promoter that started the St. Louis Northern Light Council. I know for years he was with the St. Charles Council, and right. He thought that we needed to get something started in North County, and he and I served on the Florissant Disability Commission here in Florissant, and that's where we got our connections. And so I started going to some of Steve's meetings that we used to hold at the Ferguson Coffee House before that closed.
Right.
And I think you pretty well know, and a lot of others, that sure. Steve has been battling throat cancer and some other varieties for the last several years.
Yeah,
and
he's fought that for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, he really has. And he's dealing with it right now. So
right.
It's in some of his lymph node glands, and he is not feeling too well all the time. I know he's going through a bout right now with some chemo treatments.
Right. He's a tough guy, though. He's really put up with a lot.
And Steve, after he set it up, and he had for about three, maybe 4 years, I don't really know exactly, but he was stepping down as president because of it. He just really couldn't keep up with it. And there wasn't anyone really in the group that wanted to step forward. So I told him, I says, I'll take it by default. If no one wants it, then I'll take it for you. And didn't think it would last this long, but it's been 3 years now.
Yeah.
And when people ask me how I got in, and I says it's Steve Schnelli's fault.
Okay. And you're not only president, but I believe you're the board rep for Northern Lights.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. That was another thing that Steve was doing that he just sort of handed over. He said it's pretty simple. You call in, listen to a meeting once a month or so, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it's expanded a little bit more than that, and there's a lot of opportunities and things to do with Missouri Council for the Blind.
So Carl, I know you joined. You said Steve is why you joined, but are there any other reasons that really attracted you to MCB? Some of the programs, maybe, or the structure, or.
Real honestly, I wasn't familiar with the Missouri Council for the Blind. as I started to lose my vision and it started to escalate, I really connected with St. Louis Society for the Blind and some of the programs that they were doing. So that was really my first introduction into what I guess you'd call the Blind Society. And it was Steve was the one that really introduced me to MCB.
Okay.
But you know, over the last couple of years, and knowing the things that that they try to do, we attempt to do on there, it it sort of piqued some of my interest in trying to be a little more involved.
Yeah. Good. Chip,
I think it was you were probably the very first connection I ever had with, other than Steve, with MCB when you came to my house to set up my ZoomText keyboard.
I remember that. It's been a few years ago.
I think about 11.
Has it really been that long? Goodness. Yeah, I do remember working with you there in Florissant, and you said, you know, Steve used to be with St. Charles County Council, and he did, he and his family lived in Florissant, so it was quite a drive for them to make it to our affiliate meetings there in St. Charles, but I'm glad that they did get the affiliate going there in Florissant, in that North County area. As the name implies, the Northern Lights, they cover St. Louis North. It sure do.
Chip, it's going to be interesting with Steve here soon. He and his wife moved to St. Charles County over at St. Peter's,
right?
Be closer to his wife's oldest daughter, and a couple of the grandkids, and they're going to continue with the Northern Lights at least through 2022, but it wouldn't surprise me if he tries to set up another council, because I'm not exactly sure. I think he actually was, they moved out far enough where they were closer to getting into the closer to Moscow Mills and Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's an area that that again is not really represented by any council,
right?
From MCB.
Yeah, we have a couple of members from Moscow Mills in our affiliate there in St. Peter's, St. Charles County. Right. But hopefully it'll all work out. I know Steve is a go-getter, so he'll do something. So yes. Chip, did you have any questions here?
I certainly do, and I thank you for inviting me to ask the questions. So, I was wondering if you're going to hog the entire program, but Carl, it is so good to have you on today. Now, am I correct in understanding that you lost your sight a little bit later on in life, or was it at a pretty early age? And then, secondly, what was the reason or cause of your loss of sight?
It was. My vision started, really started about 1990. And it was, had the fluid in the eye itself that my ophthalmologist diagnosed, and it was, it's called the central serous retina. And so he sent me down to Barnes, and it was down there at the School of Boris University School of Medicine, and with a doctor down there that really had specialized in central serous retina. And to describe that a little bit, it's you'll get a tear in that retina canal, and you will have fluid that will leak in there, and then it creates just like a shadow or a dark spot in different areas of the eye, wherever the split's at. And early in the process of it, at that time, the only way you could control the leakage was with laser treatment. And at that time, the only one being used for it was hot laser. So we would get it closed up, and then it would start up again. And it just was a period that just was inadvertently just kept going for years. So we didn't find out until about 2006 that the root cause of it was some of the medications that I was on. And so it fell down to steroids. Anytime I would take a steroid medication, I would get a tear in the retina. And then it would take sometimes 6 months to 2 years to clear it up. But I guess it was about 2007 that we changed and was doing some experiments with cold laser. And the cold laser works much better because it doesn't cause any scar tissue in the eye. And that was the biggest problem I had, was every time we would close it up, it just developed more scar tissue. So the right eye, between the right and the left, since 1991, I've had 13 of these laser treatments. Mm. Or surgeries, whatever you really want to describe them as. But it pretty well had destroyed the right eye because that was all hot laser. And with that, the only thing I have is left is peripheral vision. The left eye, we had probably three or four of the hot laser treatments in there. So I had the scar tissue developed in an ant before we moved to the cold laser. So in a nutshell, by the time all of this came down, and we finally got closed, and I haven't had any leakage in what I call the portion of the left eye, which would be the good eye, probably now for about 3 years. But in that time, it has brought my vision down to 4/400. So I do have vision where the biggest problem I have is, I would say, was that things that get into distance, by the time you're 20 feet in front, for me, it's just objects, and I can just see the color and movements. But within 20 feet, I can't tell if it's a male or female that I'm seeing. And then the other thing is closeness, where I have to magnify everything at a pretty good pace to be able to read it.
Well, tell us something, Carl. What kind of work did you do at the time that you began losing your sight?
At that particular time, I was in the wholesale distribution and manufacturing of gas grills and replacement parts. And our off season, we were doing gas fireplaces. And I worked for a distribution company that was located here in St. Louis County in Maryland Heights. And that was Westcott Associates. And I was the sales manager for the company, and I did quite a bit of traveling through Missouri and Illinois. So I was gone basically about 3 days a week. So it was a lot of driving. And anytime I would start to come down with a cold, I would give my doctor a call and go by and get a highball shot, is what we used to kid it and call it, which was prednisone and which is a steroid, and B12. And by morning, the symptoms of a cold was gone and I could go on. But a couple of days after that had settled in, that's when I started getting all of the shadows and shading. And so that was the first notice of it. So it was to limit some of my traveling, we went ahead and changed my duties, and I became the director of operations for Duquesne Fitzhall, which was a replacement parts for gas grills. And Duquesne was a company that was located in Columbia, South Carolina. And they were the manufacturer of Duquesne grills, and they also did I guess what we called the vertical furnaces, the ones that were hidden in the ceilings. And I was responsible for basically for the replacement parts part of the business completely. I did everything from sourcing product to packaging to the distribution network. So at that time, Gas Grills was quite a bit of different entity than what we have today, because you had several manufacturers and there was always a need for the replacement parts. And that has sort of dwindled down and changed quite a bit over the years.
Well, before I turn it back over to Denny, I do have one other question for you, Carl.
Yeah.
What nationality is Chapel?
English.
Okay.
We are Brits. Okay. And my whole line just goes British and Scottish. Excuse me. Our ancestors trace back to Captain John Chapel. He was the captain of the Speedwell vessel from England. That was the lead ship for the Mayflower coming to the to America. And during peacetime, it was a freighter, and during wartime, it was used as a battleship. And John Chapel's son, Thomas, came to America in 1645, I believe was the date, and his family, and then we just all sort of traced from there. His children moved through Tennessee and down to Georgia, and some of them wound up and migrated to Illinois. So it sort of span out and went everywhere from there. But we sort of get a kick out of that, because a lot of people will look at it and they don't want to say this. They don't want to pronounce words the way that we were taught as children in school. You know, Chapel is C-H, and that's a hard C. And you got a lot of people who want to call it Chapelle, you know, where they want to put the French accent to it. And I said, when you go to school or church, do you call that a church? And just try to clean it up a little bit.
Right.
But that's our heritage. We've been here since 1645, and there's a bunch of us, and a lot of us have never met one another.
Well, speaking of family, you have a family, wife and children?
Yeah, my wife, Susan, we started dating in high school and have been together ever since. I've been married 51 years.
Oh, goodness.
And we dated.
That's great.
And we were together 4 years from before that.
Mm-hmm. What high school did you go to?
We went to Riverview.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in North County.
Right.
It's up between Glasgow and Riverview. And Bellefontaine would be its northern neighbor, and western neighbor. we have had three children. Our oldest son, Stephen, had passed away 6 years ago with with PMP cancer, which is caused, it's a cancer that actually develops in the appendix, and the appendix then would expand with the cancer cells, and then it would split and it would release the mucin that got into the abdomen area and then just started attaching itself to and attacking other organs. Mm-hmm. And once the appendix had gotten back down to its normal size, that tear would just seal up again, and then it would start generating more. So he had it for probably for a few years before it really ever was caught, because it really didn't cause any type of irritable notations or anything that you could really find it. He had gone in for what they thought was a hernia, and as soon as they started to make the incision, and this mucus started to swell out of it, it was the surgeon had backed off pretty quickly on that. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started on CT scans, and then realized that he had a pretty definite case of PMP cancer. And wow. And at that point, then passed away about 4 years after that. So,
and you have a son that's an attorney also, don't you?
I have my youngest son. Yes, is an attorney, and my daughter is also an attorney.
Oh, really? Okay.
And Julie is 12 years older than Aaron, and Aaron was sort of our, was an afterthought as we got down through the road, because when Julie was born, and she was somewhat of a firecracker, and we weren't sure if we were going to be able to keep up with another kid after trying to keep up with her. Julie went to William Wood University, and she was in the last class of that, being an all-girl school university. Mm-hmm. And her especially really was biology, and they were just getting into genetics at that time. And when she graduated from there, then she got a job with Washington University School of Medicine, and they were doing a study and research on DNA and the separation and identifying that. So she was in the very early stages of the developing of DNA. Yeah. And she did that for about 2 years, and says it got very boring to her. So she went back to law school and, excuse me, said she never had any intention of ever spending a day in court. She was going to be a patent attorney. So she received her patent license by the time she finished her second year of law school. And when she got out, she was working with Monsanto as a pharmaceutical patent attorney when they were in the business with medications. They were bought out by Pfizer, and she was the pharmaceutical patent attorney, or one of, for Pfizer for a few years. And then when they close up the offices here and just have their production and manufacturing, she decided she did not want to transfer to Chicago or New York. So she is now with Purina, and she's one of their lead attorneys here in the Midwest.
That's neat.
Aaron, on the other hand, and had was another graduate at St. Louis University in the law school there as well, with his sister. And he, his first firm, excuse me, the first firm he ever worked for, he was the city attorney for the city of Belleville, Illinois, in East St. Louis, as well as the school districts for those two communities. And I think there was some involvement with Collinsville as well. Mm-hmm. So he did that for a few years and then went into practice with his wife and father-in-law. And they now are defendant attorneys for a lot of it is personal injury.
Okay.
So,
well, Carl, let me ask you this. With MCB, is there a recommendation to the people listening as to why they need to be a part of MCB? What do you really get out of MCB? Why would you recommend it to other people?
Well, there's so many advanced things that they can do there. As they start to lose their vision, especially in adult life, depression is a big part of that. And when that type of loneliness sets in on someone, they need some positivity brought back into their lives. And MCB and their affiliates have a way of doing that because they find themselves involved with people on the same level as they are with that vision loss. And I think each of the affiliates are of all of different sizes, and they do a lot of different things between social and others. But MCB has the ability really to provide a lot of services that people with visual impairment really need. One I know that you yourself is very involved in, which is technology. When with the advancement of technology on there, and it allows people to be able to connect with the computer and connect with a telephone, because so much of it is voice activation. And it brings people back up to another level.
Yeah, opens up a whole new world for them.
Yeah, oh, it is a new world.
Yes, yeah.
Chip,
any questions for Carl?
Yeah, the last question I have for you, Carl, I know we're winding down here. Yeah. But a question I have for you, outside of your involvement with MCB, because I know you're very much heavily involved with the organization, but what is it about Carl Chappell that really excites you, takes up most of your day, most of your week, the kind of things that you really enjoy doing that you would like to share with everybody?
My wife.
Takes up a lot of your time, huh?
she takes up a lot of time. Prior to this, I had my own marketing and sales company. So I was an independent rep that I was able to work directly from home, and I still have a lot of those connections. So, when we have fundraising, as an example, either for Northern Lights or for MCB, I have an opportunity then to connect with some of the people that I've known for years to either get product for the auctions or other forms of donations. As far as having a a real outside interest in anything. I guess I really don't. Between MCB and the Northern Light Council and just trying to play blind golf, which I find enjoyable. I can hit the ball. I just don't know where it goes. Between my son and my grandson, they normally have to spot it for me. It's outside interest is, I guess, mainly would just be with golf and visiting with other people in the community. And when I hear of people that have just lost their sight, or I find someone like that, even in a grocery store, and if I don't know them, I will approach them and try to introduce them to MCB or Northern Lights and St. Louis Society for the Blind, because there's a lot of people that have been blind for a very long time that don't know anything about any of those organizations.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. And it's a matter of being able to help other people. So
yeah,
that's probably my biggest background is just helping other people.
Good. Well, Carl, in closing, are there any other thoughts you'd like to share with the people listening about Carl Chappell?
No, not just offhand, really can't think of anything.
Okay.
The listeners out there, whoever they have, I would strongly suggest that if they're not associated with an affiliate, that they contact MCB and maybe find out if there is an affiliate somewhere within their area that they can join, because the camaraderie that you have with other people with a lot of the same type of problems is a big plus.
Yeah.
Because nobody's judging anyone.
Great. It's great peer support.
The level of support that the blind community has for other people with not only visual disabilities, but others,
right.
Hearing loss or whatever, they have the sources where they can make sure that people can get the right form of treatment.
For Carl, thank you for your time this time, and we just wish you the best. Keep up the good work for MCB, and really appreciate you and people like you that make MCB what it is today.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
You okay. Bet. And folks, thank you for listening to Meet the People of MCB. And if you have somebody that you would like to have Chip and I interview, give me a call at 636-428-1500, or Chip's number is
417-540-9703.
Until the next time, God bless you, and keep listening. You might even hear yourself on here. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.